I almost feel like I could just say the benediction and bid you farewell, because this morning with the prayers and the blessings and the comments and the music, it's just has been beautiful and very moving. I'm going to work on it. No, there's no competing. I do hope that my sermon will touch your heart and that you'll take the message and go forth this week and use the knowledge that I shared with you. The sermon title is Now is the Time for Joy. In Rome, while waiting under house arrest to ask Caesar for release from prison, Paul was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. And that lasted for 2 years. Even though Paul's circumstances changed, he remained content in Jesus Christ. Sometimes when the guy in front of us just doesn't want to move out of the way, when he's driving slow, can you imagine Paul being chained for 2 years to another person? He remained content in Jesus Christ. Paul always had the light within him. He could adjust and give thanks for his circumstances. When I'm in difficult circumstances, I have been working on training myself to recognize that a lesson will be learned. Keep my eyes open, know that a lesson will be learned. He used that time chained to the guards as an opportunity to witness to them. And many guards would come to accept the Lord due to their discussions with Paul. Jake is our conversationalist and can go out there and have a conversation with anyone. And I truly wonder, how many people does he walk away from, and yet the seed of Jesus Christ has been planted in their hearts? That's a gift. How many times do you think joy is mentioned in Philippians? Anybody want to take a guess? 15. Paul mentions joy 15 times in his letter to the believers in Philippi. He writes to encourage the Christians to live joyfully in every circumstance. The book of Philippians is referred to as the epistle of joy. Philippians 1:1-11 is a thank you note to the Philippians, but it is even more so a thank you to God who has worked such kindness through the Philippian Christians. I'm reading from Philippians 1:1-11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together we, the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, my God, every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Be confident of this, that we who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Our joy comes from knowing that we always have Jesus with us. And that's where our joy comes from. Paul assures the people that God's blessing and power remain with him. He is not giving up. He will continue to do God's work. David Guzak writes, God never wastes our time, though we may waste it by not sensing God's purpose for our lives at this moment. Philippians 1, 12 through 19. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. I'm pausing. Chained to a guard for 2 years. House arrest. What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not necessarily supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true motives, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what happened to me will turn out to be for my deliverance. Others could see that Paul was not just another prisoner. It is my prayer that others will see that you are not just a human being, another human. You are a child of God. In less than ideal circumstances, Paul brought glory to God. Paul was not filled with a selfish ambition to save himself while preaching. He knew that when people did share for selfish gain, the people were still hearing God's word. But his motivation was not selfish. Paul remained confident, knowing the Philippians were praying for him. He relied on the Holy Spirit to provide for his needs. In our relationship with the Lord, we recognize that real love requires growth and maturation. Love and joy grow through practical discernment and sensitivity. Christian joy is rooted in knowledge and understanding, and we have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. When someone says something negative, don't add to the negativity. When someone says something hurtful, don't add to the hurtfulness. Search for the joy. Stop a few times throughout the day to take notice of your own thoughts. Are your thoughts bringing you joy? Practice changing your thoughts in the moment, in that moment, if your emotions are being swayed. Our emotions are pretty unique and peculiar because it is easy to join in the crowd that is saying negative things. It may be easy to do the wrong thing. Catch yourself. Before the emotions take hold, catch yourself. Bring it back to prayer and praise for Jesus. Marianne Williamson wrote, "Joy is what happens to us when we allow ourselves to recognize how good things really are." So you will recognize how good things are and take that extra step to share with others how good things are when you love Jesus Christ. The author of the article, Meeting the Hard Things with Grace, Linda Kinsinger, writes about her husband's dear friend, a friend of the family. The friend that was her husband's age and young passed away from pancreatic cancer right after Christmas. And within a few months, their beloved sister in the same family had died in a freak car accident. Lucinda writes, "No parent expects a child to die before they do. Our neighbors stayed positive." She writes, "I am praying God will use this to bring people to the Lord." That's what the father had shared. "And if our faith isn't made for a time like this, then what good is it?" His wife recently came through her own battle with a major illness, and two of their sons were ordained to the ministry just last summer. God works in mysterious ways. Momentous events, every one of these. Some were good events, many were difficult. The type of events that take a lifetime, not several months, to adjust to. It takes a lifetime to adjust to some sadness. This family gave their concern, their pain, and their joy to God in prayer. Lucinda recently reached out to the family friends right after their father had passed away, asking the wife, "How are you doing?" Her eyes filled with tears, but she told me how supported their family felt by having family nearby and by having the warmth and caring of their community. "We are blessed," she said. "We are blessed." Lucinda, the author, wanted to cry. She writes, "I only hope when I meet the most difficult extremities of my life that my relationship with my Savior and with the people around me will be such that I can say from my heart, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I am blessed." 1 Philippians 1, verses 20 to 26. "I eagerly expect and hope that I in no way will be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of your progress and joy in the faith so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me." Paul did not fear death. We should not fear death. And that positivity affected his ongoing growing ministry. You not having that fear will affect your friendships with your family and your friends. He has confidence. He was confident that God intended him to be fruitful with God's plan for him. Not sitting at home, not giving up on prayer, but prayerfully finding out how to serve others. He was filled with faith, which led to confidence that he would survive his imprisonment, and indeed he did. Once released, Paul did have the opportunity to visit the Philippians prior to his death. He was able to rejoice with his friends while encouraging them to be good citizens of God's kingdom. Go and rejoice. Paul's Christ-like conduct was a major reason for so many Philippians feeling Christ's love among them. Paul spoke of experiencing joy during his time as a prisoner. His genuine trust in the Lord provided a great light within him. Paul writes in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul's circumstances changed, but he remained content in Jesus. I recently read in the Mennonite magazine this quote: We all have things in our lives that can make us feel happy, sad, or eh. With joy in your faith comes a sense of spiritual awakening, which may include the ability to enjoy the moment. It will include the loss of worriness. It will include loving others without expecting anything in return. And it will include more smiling. Tan Hank wrote, this is part of his poem, "Sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, but sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy." Yes, your physical state influences your feelings and your emotions. Try this. I encourage you. I challenge you. When you are reading your Bible or spending time in devotions this week or spending time in prayer, do it with a smile on your face. Force yourself to smile. Or simply smile for 30 seconds while you're pouring your cereal or getting your breakfast ready. Even if you don't feel like it, see how it makes you feel. Put that smile on your face. You've been challenged. Be joyful knowing that you can choose your thoughts. You choose your thoughts. And you are not a captive to whatever thoughts simply pop into your mind. Think about God's love for you and the good plan that he has for you. Think about how you can bring joy to others. Think about how you do bring joy to others, simply by being a blessing to them. Allow our Lord to spread joy by being available to him to work through you. Take your knowledge, take your blessings, take your joy, and share with others. Our joy will continue to come from our belief in Jesus and having that spirit of Christ within our hearts. Our joy comes from within. This joy is meant to be shared, and this sharing of joy will only amplify joy. Our world needs it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to remember that Jesus lives in us, and that is where our joy comes from. Fill us with joy so that we may be prepared for whatever may happen this week. We will have some sad times and some down times and some negative times. Help us to quickly turn to you. Help us to quickly turn to reading a Bible. Help us to recognize that you are with us always. Allow us to take a step back to look and listen for joy-filled moments. Allow us to think God-honoring thoughts. May we focus on your goodness in our lives. We lift up those suffering from illness, hunger, and those who are imprisoned. We lift up the world leaders. We ask that the circumstances in their lives lead them to turn to you. We are thankful for your love. We are thankful for the joy provided to each of us and to this Wellspring community. In your name we pray. Amen.